Okay, Daf Kof Aleph Omud Beis. Yes. Here in the middle size lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down.
Rishon
Shekhar Abba. Rishon, that's what we're up to. Omar Rava. See where we are?
Yeah.
It's opposite the Lamed in the Torah Or. It's opposite the Lamed in the Ein Mishpot.
Right, the Hilim Lamed Gimel.
Right. So Omar Rava. Now, again, remember. In other words, the Gemara was doing all this kind of numerological symbolism. There are three aliyahs. What's the symbolism of three? You have Kohen Levi Yisrael, Torah Nevi'im Chesuvim. You have to have 10 psukim. What are the 10 psukim for? The Aseres Hadibros. Maybe the 10 statements with which the world was created. But if you count up, how many times does it say Vayomer and Maaseh Bereishis?
Nine.
So how do you get to 10? So the Bereishit itself is the 10th. But the idea that you need to have the 10 psukim Omar Rava, as you have 10 psukim, each aliyah has to be minimally 3 psukim. So how do you break it up?
Probably 3, 3, and 4. Or 3, 4, 3, or 4, 3.
Well, no, you can't have 4, 4, 3. Because what do you do if you have 10?
4, 3, 3.
Four either, right, so it's either 4, 3, 3, 3, 4, 3, or 3, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Say it, but if you only have 10, and let's say you have an aliyah of 10. If you have an aliyah that's 20 psukim, so it's easy to divvy up 3 psukim to each person. But if you have the minimum kriyat Torah, which is 10 psukim, and everybody has to get 3, minimally 3, so what happens? Everybody gets 3, but one person gets an extra. So Omar Rava, Rishon Shekara Arba Mishubach. Sheni Shekara Arba Mishubach. Shlishi Shekara Arba Mishubach. In other words, whoever the guy is that gets the extra posuk is praiseworthy.
That's interesting, they're not saying Kohen Levi Yisrael.
They're not saying Kohen Levi Yisrael, that's right. Because, as you know, it doesn't actually have to be a Kohen Levi Yisrael. And often it's not. Although, usually not when you're in the room.
But, in other words, when you get coin Rishon, it's because of the kavod of the coin. So I mean, if I'm going to give you coin, you're going to give him the
honor. So apparently, the kavod is the fact that he goes first.
Right.
But if you have a room full of Yisraelim, so
you're supposed to get. Always the coin supposed to get the best portion. So whatever it is, that's the.
You need a minimum of 4 psukim to be praiseworthy. Was the fact that you got more?
That you got more psukim than the next guy.
Right, but if you divvied it up, let's say 6, 6, 6, 6, and 7.
No, but it's 10. That's the. Is it a minimal case? Oh, so if you have an aliyah, a longer aliyah.
Right. Let's say you have 6, 6, and 7. So is the 7th guy praiseworthy now because he had one more than else, or are they all praiseworthy because they all had more than the minimum?
Presumably, that seems that the quantity is quality here.
So you'd have to have more than the minimum.
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess, but that's not the Gemara is talking about. In this minimal case of 10, the guy that gets 4 while his friends get 3. Now this question of what to do. In other words, you know the din. When there's no Kohen present, what happens? So
either depends.
So there's 2 different minhagim.
There's 3. I've been the Levi. I've been exposed to all 3, and the Gabbaim are always very adamant.
What's the third?
Either you don't give it to Levi Dafka,
all right,
or
just Israel.
You give it to
three Israelis,
or you give it to Levi Dafka. Or it doesn't matter. Coin. And I've been places, and I've always argued about this whenever that happens, right. Which is the right way to do it.
Wait, what does it doesn't matter mean? The only possibility is Levi Yisro.
No, you can say, you know, some say you have to give it to, you cannot give it to Levi.
Give what?
The Rishon. Some say you, Nafka should, and some say it doesn't matter one way or another.
Right? If you give Rishon to Levi, then Levi gets
no
something
else. No, then it goes to Yisro.
I think it's perfect to Chavila. I think I'm changing.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's position was that if there's no Kohen present, then you go, you do it to three Yisraelim. The Levi doesn't get Bimkom Kohen because the Levi's status is derivative of the Kohanim. So in the absence of a Kohen, a Levi is not distinct. This is interesting, of course, because he was himself a Levi.
He's not
a Right. It becomes less than you sell, and you say, don't give me a leaf to the lady, there's no point. If you have Meiser to give away, there's no point.
No, it's a different din altogether. Meiser
to give away. There's no status to the lady.
No, the government, I could say.
For all the years that I was a lady.
There's no problem.
For all the years I was a lady. I remember I was once in a shiur, my first year in YU. I was in a halacha shir with Rabbi Benji Yudin from Fairlawn. And he... Check it.
Thank you.
Sorry. And he said... So he taught this din about the Kohen. He said, but what if you don't have a Levi? And nobody knew. And he turned to me and said, you don't know? You're a Levi. I said, precisely. I will never. I've never. It'll never happen in my presence. It's not a case that I would know, have any first-hand familiarity with. So apparently, there's some value. You know, there's all these other things about which aliyah is more choshev. Is it shlishi? Is it shishi? Is it
depends on whether you're a chassid or a litva.
I guess. So anyway, so the Gemara says that whoever gets the extra posuk is mishubach. What does it mean, Mishubach? Right? It means it's like good. It doesn't mean that it's like more holy. It doesn't mean that he's more important. It doesn't. It's just, you know, it's better to have more Torah than less Torah. Now the Gemara tries to figure out, how do we know that the Rishon could be Mishubach? How do we know that the guy in the middle could be Mishubach? And how do we know that the guy at the end could be Mishubach? And it brings these three kinds of... not proof texts, but cases where you see this value to each. Sometimes the first, you know, sometimes we say, obviously, the most choshev goes first. And sometimes we say, achron achron chaviv. You know who said achron achron chaviv? Probably the guy who was the last in his family. The guy, the last born kid thinks achron chaviv. Those of us that are... The Bukhorim amongst us know that it's always better to be first, as I will often tell my younger sister.
Why is it better?
It's just better. Because you're born knowing that you're the most important.
You're born knowing that you're the most important, then you have to suffer all your parents' mistakes. Yeah, that's why you get rewarded.
My parents didn't make too many mistakes.
You're also a youngest, huh?
No, I'm an oldest.
I always say that all of the differences in personality between my wife and I can be understood from the fact that I am the eldest in the family, I'm the eldest of my whole generation. I'm the eldest of my siblings, of my cousins, and she's the youngest. And it explains everything. I hope she doesn't listen to these recordings.
How many likes do you know?
Don't upload them by mistake.
Yeah. So how do we know? So the Gemara says, Ditznan. B'shalosh kupot shel shalosh sa'in shebahen tormin et ha'lishcha v'haya katuv alayim alef bet gimel leida eze mehem nitrama rishon la'akriv mimena rishon shem mitzvah barishon. This is a Mishnah in Shkalim, you know, the chatzi shekel. Everybody would come and they would give their chatzi shekel. And on certain periods, what did they do with the chatzi shekel? All these chatzi shekelim? Well, they kept them in Beit HaMikdash. There was a lishcha. Right, no, but in other words, there was like a kind of vault in Beit HaMikdash where these shkalim were held. Right? This was before money became kind of fungible. Right? The shekel itself had kedusha. Right? The shekel HaKodesh. So these chatzi shkalim were kept in the vault, in the lishcha. And at certain periods during the year, there was no credit card, right? There was no debit card that the Kohanim used to pay for things. There was no kupak tana, like we have in the office. There was that they would go and they would take these buckets, these kupot, these boxes of shkalim. They would make a withdrawal and they would go and they would buy the korbanot for the korban tamid. But when they did this, they would mark the kupot aleph bet gimel 1, 2, 3 to know that the shkalim that came in first would be the first to be used. And it's not the way we think of money, right? In other words, if you give me 20 shekel...
Not really what happened. You have to pay one coupon. The people come and they put money in it. So you can say, well, if the first guy who gave, let's use his shekel first. The second guy who gave, the second guy, you don't know. It's all the same coupon.
No, so but within the coupot themselves, once each box or bucket got filled, it got labeled. This is number one, because the kol hakodem zoche. In other words, if you came first and paid up first, so your shekel should be used to buy a korban before his shekel. Even though we don't think of money that way. Like my kids think of this idea that you get money, you put it in the bank, and you go to the bank, you get your money. Like if you write your name on the 50 shekel note that you got for your birthday present from grandma. Right, you put it into the bank, you go to the bank, and you get that 50 shekel note, right? And they don't understand that there's absolutely no difference between the 50 shekel note and 10 and 5 10 shekel coins, because money represents an abstract value, but there's no actual value to our paper and metal coins themselves. But in Beit HaMikdash, this idea that the shekel that came in first should be used earlier in the cycle to buy the korbanot. So you see that there's value to being, for this Mishnah is brought to substantiate the idea that there's value to being first. So therefore, if the Rishon or the Kohen gets the extra aliyah, you see, makes sense.
It doesn't show that being first by God is just showing up. You don't want the people who are first to be thrown in the back of the line.
Okay, but it shows Shemitzvah by Rishon. That's what the Gemara says. Shemitzvah berishon, that if you have to divvy things up, if one person should get the extra pasuk, if it doesn't divide evenly, so then it's better to do it first.
No, but second gets done second, and third gets done third, and fourth gets done fourth. It's not a question that first is more important than second. You just don't want second to take the cut in.
Right, why?
Ostensibly, because of importance to being.
Because it's better to...
Because you're better being done first.
No,
earlier.
If that was true, then it would be important to mark the first coin to be first and the second coin to be second. Right, no problem.
That's not a profit.
Right, you're just saying that, it's a kilu, everything's got an expiration date.
It's not the most... Yeah, does he say something here in the notes?
If you gave an example, we used the first thing and we didn't use the other stuff ever.
There might have been, I don't presume that I'm smarter than the Gemara here, but you could have brought the Mishnah that as soon as the first fruit... blossoms, they would take the string and they would tie it around to mark the one that was the bachur.
Yeah, no.
Well, the end is here, you have
three kupot. So the symbolism of three. Okay, anyway, go on. Emtsa'i. So how do you know that there's value to being in the middle? Shekara arba'am mishubach. Emtsa'i shekara arba'am mishubach. How do you know that if the middle guy gets the extra pasuk, he's praiseworthy? Titania el mu pnei hamenorah ya'iru milamed shemitzaded pneihem klape ner ma'aravi. The ner ma'aravi klape shchina. In the menorah in Beit HaMikdash, let me see if I have this right. So the menorah in Beit HaMikdash was seven, but it was situated from. It was in the south of the Kodesh, As there's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it was in the south.
It went from north. It was
and
in
it,
south,
it was
a
raid from not from north to south, from north to north to east to north. North
it was on the north south line, but it was
on the north. According to the picture here, it was on the north south line.
On the north south line.
Yeah, north south axis.
Right. In other words, again.
Facing east.
Again. Wait a second. Wait a minute. Wait. Here is the. Here. Yes. No. But why? The Mikdash was situated. The length of the Mikdash was east-west. Here's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? Here's the entrance to the Kodesh. Here is the menorah. The menorah is aligned this way, going from... Yeah, because this is the east. The menorah... It's here it's in... It's a machlok. Right. So it was aligned. It was aligned this way, going from north to south. The three neirot that were on the south were all pointed towards the middle. In other words, it wasn't that. Does anybody have a pen? It wasn't that the wick stood up in the cup like this. It was at an angle so that the three on the south were pointing towards the middle, and the three on the north were pointing towards the south, pointing towards the middle, and the one in the middle was pointed towards the west, meaning pointed directly towards the
Kodesh.
So what the Gemara here calls the Ner HaMa'aravi is really which candle?
The middle one.
The middle one, meaning Ner HaMa'aravi, not the Ner that's in the west, but the Ner which is pointing, where the teal, the wick, is pointing towards the west, and the other three on either side are all, as it were, bowing down to it.
Meaning there's importance in being in the middle.
That there's value being in the middle. Because we have a principle of malin bekodesh velo morid. This is an idea that we see in the beginning of the fourth parak of the Gemara. That's really the home address of this idea, that when you array a whole variety of things, you always go up in sanctity. So the Mishnah, maybe we'll even get to it. The Mishnah on Daf Kaf. Yes, we'll definitely get to it. The Mishnah on Daf Kaf Hei Omud Beis Bnei Ha'ir. The townsmen who sell any variety of holy items. So if you sell a Beit Knesset, what can you do with the proceeds of the Beit Knesset? You can eat, well, that's a machlokas, whether you can use it for a lateral purchase or you have to go up. If you sell a Beit Knesset, you can buy an Aron Kodesh. Lamaisa, we don't do it. Lamaisa, we take a Beit Knesset and we exchange it for another Beit Knesset. Right? So if you go to the Gush, what does it say on the wall at the entrance to the Beis Medrash of the Gush? The entrance to the building?
Exit.
No.
That was the entrance, he said.
Yeah, well, it says donated by Congregation Sons of Israel, Newark, New Jersey. I think it's Sons of Israel, not something like that. When one of these shuls, once upon a time there were 100 shuls in Newark, New Jersey. Today there's not a single one. When those shuls closed up, the proceeds either moved with the Jews out to the suburbs and built the shuls in Livingston and West Orange and all the places where the Jews moved to, or they came on Aliyah and they built synagogues. And by that, so you see, like in some places in Yerushalayim, elsewhere, you have like the old yard site plaques. Where they have? All right, in the Geffen Shul, they have the yard site plaques from. Where's that shul? Yeah. So, right. What's the in Kiryat Moshe? There's a young Israel of something. There's a shul in Kiryat Moshe, which is called the Young Israel of, you know, some little town, which, I forget which one. Or you have these shuls, what's the name of the shul in West Orange? It's called Congregation Ahavat Achim B'nei Jacob and B'nei David. Right? The most, there were three shuls, all of them in Newark, that all closed down after the 60s, and they all merged and relocated to build this shul in suburban, in West Orange. So this idea of Malin B'Kodesh, that you take the proceeds and you buy something more sanctified, that's the major topic in the fourth parak, which we'll get to. That's the topic there. Where else do we see Malin B'Kodesh for Lomo Ridin? Huh? Well, that's a machlokas between Pesul and Beis Shammai, but yeah. Right. So this idea that you go up in sanctity, you see the last one in some ways is the most holy, so maybe he should get four. Rav Papa Ikle Lebei Kanishta de Avi Gover. Who's Avi Gover? Does he say something? No?
No.
Okay.
Capitalize it like a name.
Okay, is it a place or it's a person? Okay. So Rav Papa went to the shul of Avi Gover. V'kara rishon arba'a v'shabchei Rav Papa. So you see, that came true. They go to a shul and they give the rishon the extra aliyah, the extra posuk, and Rav Papa. So we don't know. Where do you see that? In the Rabbeinu Chananel?
No, it's in the small print.
Oh, and I see.
Somebody in little letters.
So you see that it came true. Now, what's interesting about it? What can we learn from this?
It wasn't
have this universal fixed division of the aliyot into sections the way that we have them today. Even though we have them today, there are po v'sham variant minhagim about exactly where to divide the aliyot. You see, sometimes in the Chumash it'll say v'yesh korin atkan, right? Some read until here and some read until there. Usually that difference is in the shlishi, how much do you read? Once you've read the minutes, do you add on another extra couple psukim or do you end earlier? You know, the same way that we have in, this is more common in the Haftarah, where usually, to make up for the fact that they have to say all these extra selihot, the Sephardi Haftarahs are usually shorter. Every now and then it's the opposite, but usually the Sephardi Haftarah.
It's just the opposite. It's because they have the short Haftarah that they have to make it up.
Oh, is that what it is? I see. and Kidney.
No, but it seems like almost a cold al nivar, the first one to grab it.
Yeah, whoever, and presumably, well, again, it's also talking about a time when. Why should the guy that gets the aliyah get Sheva? He didn't do nothing. He gets called up, he goes up, he says the brachot, and they either read three psukim or they read four psukim.
No, we're assuming that he read it.
Ah,
that he was reading.
This is a time when the Oleh himself would read. Right? So the guy, it's the guy that grabs extra posuk, Yasha Kocho, he did well. Now the Mishnah says, Ein pochatin mehen ve'ein mosifin. On Sheni v'chamishi and Shabbos Mincha, you call three, no more, no less. Unlike Shabbat, where there's a minimum, but you can always add. In pochatin v'en mosif. Tana, ha-poteach mivarech lefaneha v'achote mivarech l'achareha. The original halacha was, you go up for the aliyah, the Rishon would say the first bracha, And the, whoever got the last aliyah would say the last bracha. And if you got the middle aliyah, if you were got shlishi or vi, you didn't make any bracha. What'd you do?
Red.
You read. That's what it meant to get an aliyah. V'ha'itna, but nowadays, already in the time of the Gemara, v'ha'itna dechulhu mivarche lifoneh v'lachareha. But nowadays, everybody says the brachot. Everybody says Birkot HaTorah. That's why they're written there on the Bima. Hainu taima de taknihu rabbanan gzera mishuma nichnasinu mishuma yotzin. Why did Chazal change it that everyone says the brachot before and afterwards? Because of the yotzim v'nichnasim. Because not everybody stays for the whole Kriyas HaTorah. It's been known to happen. If somebody came in late, or if somebody left early, what would happen? They'd miss a bracha.
And would think that it wasn't necessary.
Oh, are you saying one thing or are you saying two?
I'm saying both.
You're saying both.
No, they would miss the bracha. But I think the question is, why is it a big deal if you miss a bracha? Someone's saying a bracha over...
That's a big deal. You can't read the Torah without a bracha. And if you weren't Yotze with the first guy.
No, we're talking about the person who came in late.
Right, so the guy comes in late. Okay, so he's already not here the entire week. So he's not going to be Yotze anyways.
No, but he's been called up.
No, in other words, the idea of Kriyat HaTorah.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. I think you're just talking about like the general. Okay, sorry.
What did you think we were talking about?
You're talking about like stuff. I walk in late to shul, and in the middle of laning.
Yeah.
So okay. So anyways, I missed the first of the. I'm not going to be Yotze hearing the laning.
You're not going to. No, you're look. It's not Kriyat HaTorah is not all or nothing. It's not like if you miss. It's not like Kriyat HaMegillah, where if you miss a pasuk, you walk in late to Kriyat HaMegillah, you're not Yotze Kriyat HaMegillah. But Kriyat HaTorah, the Kriyat HaTorah, look altogether, what level of obligation Kriyat HaTorah is a question that we'll have to answer. It's possible that Kriyat HaTorah is what's called a Chovat HaTzibur. The community is obligated to have public Torah reading. I, as a member of the community, and obligated to hear it. But it's not as if I missed a pasuk or I missed a whole aliyah that I somehow have to be mashlim. Now, I'm not, of course, giving sanction to people who don't pay attention to Kriyas HaTorah, right? But it's different than an individual obligation where if I miss it, I still have to do it. That's in the community, in the minyan, there has to be Kriyat HaTorah. If I come in late, and if it's that the Kohen says the first bracha, Asher bacharbanu mikol ha'amim v'natanu et Torah do, and the guy that gets the last aliyah says, Asher natanu Torah temet v'chayelam tabitocheinu, but if I come in late, I've missed the first bracha. Right? So you wanted to say... So I didn't get the bracha. So when I do participate in Kriyat HaTorah, I have to hear these brachot. So I miss it. When you get an aliyah, you should have in mind that you're saying the bracha for everybody. You're being motzi. Everybody, which is why you don't like getting aliyah. So, but you should be being motzi. Everybody. So if I come in late and I didn't hear your bracha, I missed out. But that's not what Rashi says, and that's what Tom was alluding to. Meshuma nichnasin. See Rashi, Meshuma nichnasin. Sheibi kanes adam lebeit hakneset achar shebirech rishon ve'im lo yishma et ha'acherim mivarchim yomar ein bracha batorah lefoneha. I come in the middle of the first aliyah, I miss the bracha.
Every single
that's
time.
Different.
hold on. Right? I miss the first aliyah. And then I miss the bracha of the first aliyah. And then they call up Yamod, David Kerwin Halevi. And David Kerwin Halevi gets up there. And he does not say a bracha. I will be led to the conclusion
that there's no bracha
at the beginning. Now David asks a very good question. what, this Shlomazel, he's late every single time? Is that we make a takana? We make a takana because, right? And we do have this idea of kind of Marisayan.
We make a lot of takanas.
I think Tom no. was suggesting a different idea than actually.
What was your idea?
My idea was that you come in late, and they give you an aliyah,
yeah.
and then you start kriya without a bracha. Like,
oh, that you yourself.
You're supposed to make it. I mean, you're right. supposed to read the Torah without a bracha.
In which case, Rashi would make sense.
No, in which case, Rashi would say, because
let's say I walk in late, and they give me an aliyah, and I go up there, and I do it without a bracha, right? So then I would think, okay, so. Whenever it doesn't make a difference who calls me up and when they call me up, I don't have to say a bracha unless I'm the guy at the end.
No, you don't learn from yourself by doing things.
Tonight I went out to dinner with my little girl to the the New Deli, and I had a sandwich and she had schnitzelonim. So I washed, and she didn't have to wash. And it was getting late, and I wanted to go. And, you know, she was dipping each French fry in the ketchup. You know how it is. And then, like, when she's done eating, she has to go to the bathroom. So she's a big girl, you know, she can go to the bathroom. But I'm not talking about my teenager. I'm talking about my six-year-old. I hope teenager's not listening to this. So she gets up, she goes to the bathroom. While she's in the bathroom, because I'm anxious to go, so I benched while she was in the bathroom. Because anyway, she didn't need to bench. And when she comes back, I said, it's time to go. But I made a point of telling her that I benched when she was in the bathroom so that she wouldn't... I mean, she knows that I bench, and she knows that I'm always on her back, you know, to say this bracha and to say that bracha. You know, like, it's that stage of parenting where you become the bracha police. And to bench and to everything. But I didn't want that she should think that even by accident that we had left. And, you know, in her mind she would say, oh, I remember that time Abba didn't bench. But that is... Halavai, your children are always down the school. No, but you should... In other words, that's what... No, but what's Marit Ayin? Marit Ayin is two things. There's two sides to Marit Ayin. One is you shouldn't do something which may lead someone else astray. Right? If you do something which is permitted but appears to be forbidden, so that's a problem because others will say, oh, he's a very holy guy. I saw him do it, so it must be okay. The other thing is you're not allowed to do something that appears to be usur, lest people will think that you are a sinner, right? So this was the second category. Now, the case in the Gemara is not like this, and it's not like that. It would really have to be a case where
I think it's has to do with the idea of what's the deal behind the brachot of Kriyat Torah. We have brachot Torah anyway, we say in the morning, right? If you would think that he might come to the conclusion that he didn't think he needed to have brachot Torah before any limud Torah. And that is a possible thing. So then he might have thought, even if he was there. Even right. He wasn't in the same way.
So that's essentially what the Rashash says.
But then you don't even need Nechon Simi for that. Because anyway, you might think that Levi did never do Baruch Atah and
right.
Who's actually concerned the Rashi? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense of what Rashi meant. Is him shot? Is that shot? Is we're talking about this game who never makes it?
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know that we would make a takana and make and require five more people to say brachot.
But I'm saying maybe Rashi means something something else.
So,
I don't understand why Rashi would say what he says. It doesn't, unless Rashi just wrote it and didn't think about it. But
well, that's not, you know, we're not inclined to say such a thing.
Right.
So, but the Rashi says, in other words, because of this problem of more along the lines of what Saul was saying, people come in They missed the bracha.
Okay.
Right?
That I can understand.
So unlike let's say other things where we say if you missed the bracha, what we said last week, brachot einan ma'akvot. If you do, when we were discussing last week about over lasiatan, if you do a mitzvah and you forgot the bracha, you yotzei the mitzvah. But Birkot HaTorah is a different category. Because Birkot HaTorah, besides generally being assumed to be of a higher level, being diraita, are also not exactly a Birkot HaMitzvah. It's also a type of Birkat Nehenim. That before you participate in Torah study, you're in some ways Birkat HaTorah is more akin to Shakol Ne'abidvro than it is to Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav. And in fact, we don't say Baruch Ata Hashem Melokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav Vetzivanu Lilmod Torah. Right? So
that's why the idea of the Lord is not
that's not what Rashi says.
That's no. So we're explaining it not like Rashi. We're explaining it like the Rashash, Rav. Shlomo Haver, the Rasha. So not with an ayin, the hey. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Berosh, so for this you have to take a sitter, take these sidurim, and turn to page 587. Page 587 in the burn bounds, in the Korean sidurim. I had a good line the other night. I was teaching Yerushalayim, and I was saying the story. I was saying, remember when you were a kid, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was, you had the burn bound sitter. And you know, davening is you're figuring out how many pages left. So that's why Jews is so smart. That's how Jews learn how to do math. Calculate. Right, the Musaf ends on page 657, and right now we're on page 132. Right.
And
it's English and Hebrew, you can divide by two.
So they, like, first you have to figure out the number, and then you have to divide it by two.
So I said this, and everybody laughed, and I said, ha ha. But the joke is, we also do it as adults.
I did it
last night.
To see how many we got to skip this year because we had a short year.
It's the best year for slichos for the Ashkenazim. All right, everybody has to suffer. So and that the other feature of the Birnbaum sitter was in the back they had the calendar, you know, with telling you the dates for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, like for up until like the year 2000 or whatever it was. And I remember you're like a little kid, it's like 1979, and you say 2000. Am I still gonna be here in 2000? How old will I be? You start doing the math. You say, in the year 2000, I'll be like in my 40s. It's like, wait, in your 40s, are you dead yet? Are you? You're married. Like, what's happening with you? Will I be retired? Is my grandfather 40? So, at page 587. Okay, so this is the Kriya for page 587. This is the Kriya for Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, this is a famously complicated Gemara. Rosh Chodeshim v'cholam shalmoed korin arba. So you have four aliyas on Rosh Chodesh. Boi minei ula barav mirava. Parashat. So he wanted to know Parashat Rosh Chodesh ketzad korin ota. How do you divvy up the psukim for Rosh Chodesh? Why? Because how many psukim do you have here? You have 15 psukim. How do you divide 15 by 4?
Double up.
No, so you're already giving an answer. But first do the math.
4, 4, 4.
Except there's a problem. This is not the same problem as before where you have to have minimum 3. But the problem when you have an aliyah of 10 psukim, everybody has to get at least 3. And then the question is, who gets the fourth? Who gets the remainder? When you're reading the psukim, there are rules about where you can start and stop. And the way this parasha is divvied up, it makes it complicated. Now, you're already alluded to the fact that we have this thing where the Kohen reads
from the beginning
until Adkan LaKohen. What is that? 4 psukim.
No, it's 3.
1, 2, 3 psukim. And then the Levi goes back a pasuk and we repeat 1 pasuk. We double up. Right? So that's the solution. But before we have the solution, we have the problem. So, Ketzad Korinoto. Savet b'nei Yisrael, v'amartalei hemet korbani lachmi, d'havyan tamnei psukei. There are 8 psukim in the first parasha. Right? What's that first parasha about?
The
korban tamid. And then you have 2 psukim, which are about
Yom HaShabbat.
Well, the Musaf of Shabbat.
Yeah.
Because, but right. And then you have about Rosh Chodesh, which is
4
psukim. Okay.
Five.
Wait. So it's 8 and 2 is 10, and 5 is 15. Right. 8 plus 2 plus 5 is 15. So the parasha of the Korban Tamid is 8 psukim. Hechina avit nikre tre talta talta psukim. 2 people should each read 3 psukim each. Pashula he tre. As if you have if Kohen reads the first 3 psukim and Levi reads the next 3 psukim, 8 minus 3 minus 3 equals 2. But there's a problem to leave over just 2 psukim. Ve'ein mishairin b'parasha pachot mishlosha psukim. So you see this, you see the way the Koran lays out the Chumash? So you have the parashiot. By parasha I don't mean Breshit Noach Lech Lecha. I mean the way that the things are spaced out. This is called the parasha p'tucha. And then we also hear this in the Leini for Sotah Bracha. This is called a parasha stuma. This is more equivalent, literally speaking, a parasha stuma, where you have like an open space in the, but not a new line. That's more equivalent to what we have in English, a paragraph break. And a parasha p'tucha is more equivalent to what we have, let's say, a chapter break, roughly speaking. You can't lane in such a way that you leave over only 2 psukim in the parasha. So if this, the parasha of the Korban Tamid, which has 8 psukim, and the first guy reads 3, and the second guy reads 3, there's no good. Because then you're leaving over 2 psukim. So nikre arba arba. So let 2 guys each read 4, and then you will have completed the whole thing. Pashuluhu shiva uviyom hashabbat havin tre broshe chadashim havin chamisha hechinavi. So in other words, if you would divide Kohen and Levi over the Korban Tamid, so then you would have a problem of the 2 psukim of Shabbat, which isn't enough for 1 aliyah. So nikre tre. Hold on a sec. Hechinavid nikre tre meha v'chad mehanach. Right. So read 2. Right. Now do 1, 2, 3, 4. Right, so divide it up, right? In other words, if you have then the Shabbos is two and Rosh Chodesh is how many?
Five.
No, it's four.
Five. What he's suggesting now is eight, doing two. four, and then all the rest. No.
No, he's saying four.
No. But Rosh Chodesh is four pesukim.
He said it was
two, three.
Eight.
Five, right. But once you get into Rosh Chodesh, you have to read three psukim. And as you can never begin a new parasha and read less than three, and you can never leave a parasha leaving over less than three. Right? In other words,
you can't do Yom HaShabbat.
You can't do a Viyoma Shabbat and the first pasuk, or even the first two psukim.
Yeah.
Right? You have to read at least three psukim.
And then you're left with only two.
Yeah. Right? It's like a bed with a sheet that's too short. You can get it around three corners, but it's going to pop up someplace else. It's like that. What's that? I hate these. I bet your family sits around on Friday nights reading books and all those other nice Kerwin things, and I bet you play like those board games together, right? You have that game with the it's like a parking lot with the cars, and how do you fit them in? I hate those games, right? It's like trying to figure out exactly how to slice up the pie. So, right, so Manav Shach, so the Gemara says there's no how do you slice it up? Vein Merkeh Pasha Pachat Mishlosha Psukim. So Likre Tre Mehavet Tlata Mehach Pashuluhu Trey. So then you would have only two left over at the end. So Omer lo zu lo shamati kiyotseba shamati. I don't know. So he answered. This was the question. Boy, mina ula mirav mirabba. So Rabba says, I don't have an answer. I never heard what the answer to this problem is, but I heard a different case, and maybe that other case would shed light on this.
Didn't everybody have the same problem? Or?
Yeah, but in other words, I guess, yeah.
They asked the question here in the notes here.
Is it a problem? Say, well, we need more.
So that's the Gemara is going to get into. I mean, just read more, go on. So that's a problem because what comes afterwards is not related to Rosh Chodesh. No, but they are, because they're talking about Korbanot. And the right? So there is at least a thematic Shayachut. Right? So what does he say? What does he say in the note?
There's two possibilities. Either Ulai Taknu to Rosh Chodesh Lo Yikansu V'lo Yisku B'Shat Kriyat HaTorah, which I follow. ואפשר לומר כי היו מנהגים חלוקים בעניין זה ולא בהם הלכה ולכן ניסו לברר את
זה. There were different מנהגים, so now they're trying to... So, the Gemara goes on. Wait, so we'll have to start. So he brings a raya from the case of the Ma'amadot. What are the Ma'amadot?
The Israelim would read when their Kohanim were in
All of Bnei Yisrael were divided up into 20. The Kohanim were divided up into what were called the Kaf Dalid Mishmarot. In other words, the Kohanim. Wait, we're not done. We got 5 minutes. The Kohanim didn't work all year long. You're a Kohen, aren't you? No, who's a Kohen? The Kohanim didn't work all year long. You would get Miluim. You get a Tzav, you'd show up. The year was divided up into these 24 segments of roughly 2 weeks each. And when it was your turn, you would go. Like the Kohanim from your town or your area would go. But when your Kohanim went, the Yisraelim would also show up. What would the Yisraelim do hanging around the Beit HaMikdash? So why was it important to have the Yisraelim in the Beit HaMikdash? Because of the Korban Tamid. Who offers the Korban Tamid? Who's chayiv to bring the Korban Tamid? Kol Beit Yisrael. So therefore, having a representative, it's like jury duty. having a representative delegation of Yisraelim in Beit HaMikdash is what enabled the giving of the Korban Tamid. But since when the Kohanim were there, they were busy with all their work, the Yisraelim didn't have anything to do besides showing up for jury duty and like sitting, waiting to be called. So they would do, they would put on a show for them. They would read for them something interesting. What's the interesting thing they would read for them? Maaseh Breshit. But there was a question of how do you divide up the Aliyot of Maaseh Breshit, which is relevant to our question of how do you divide up for Rosh Chodesh. And we'll talk about that next week. Shana Tov.